Imagine driving a car speeding toward a cliff, and instead of hitting the brakes, the passengers are fighting over the steering wheel.
Right. It is a terrifying scenario.
It really is. And well, that is exactly what the Federal Reserve looks like right now. Yet, in the middle of this economic chaos, physical retail, especially down in Texas, is experiencing an absolute gold rush.
Driven by some incredibly unlikely demographics, no less.
Exactly. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today's intelligence is brought to you by Eureka Business Group, your premier authority for navigating and capitalizing on the retail commercial real estate market in Dallas-Fort Worth.
The mission of this deep dive is to cut through the noise of the broader commercial real estate market. We want to provide you with actionable, high-level insights.
And specifically, we are going to focus on positioning you to understand exactly why the Dallas-Fort Worth retail market is currently experiencing such structural dominance.
It is a fascinating dynamic to unpack. Today, we are looking at a comprehensive sweep of the top 50 United States commercial real estate headlines.
Right, from late April through May 1st, 2026.
Yes. And the sources range from major national outlets, like Reuters and Bloomberg, all the way down to local heavyweights like the Dallas Morning News.
And to really understand why Eureka Business Group is so fundamentally bullish on Dallas-Fort Worth retail right now, we first have to ground ourselves in the rather harsh national macroeconomic reality.
We do, because that national environment is what is actively filtering out the weak players across the broader market.
Let's look at the Federal Reserve. On April 29, they held the federal funds target at 3.5% to 3.75%.
Which was expected, but the details are what matter.
Right, because what really jumps out from the sources is the highly unusual and frankly contentious 8-4 vote.
Yeah, that is the most dissents on the Federal Open Market Committee since 1992.
Oh, wow. And on top of that, Jerome Powell signaled he will remain on the Board of Governors indefinitely after his term as chair ends, while Kevin Warsh is advancing toward confirmation as the next chair.
It is a very crowded room.
Going back to that car analogy, it really looks like a corporate board of directors fighting over the steering wheel while the car is speeding toward an inflation cliff.
That lack of consensus is exactly what makes that 8-4 vote so dangerous for the markets. It reveals a fundamental disagreement internally about the direction of the economy.
Because they do not know whether to hit the gas or the brakes.
Precisely. A split that's severe means the drivers cannot agree on whether the primary threat is a recession, which would require lowering rates, or entrenched inflation, which requires keeping them high.
And for the commercial real estate engine, I have to imagine that uncertainty is paralyzing.
It absolutely is. It creates a highly volatile lending environment where capital simply does not know how to price risk.
And the data shows that inflation is remaining incredibly sticky, right? I mean, March PCE inflation hit 3.5% and CPI was at 3.3%.
Yeah, those numbers are stubborn.
The sources note this is driven significantly by gasoline costs, and the reporting links those costs to ongoing geopolitical tensions involving Iran and the Strait of Hormuz, as well as the potential impact of proposed tariffs.
Which is a complex web of factors.
It is. And we are simply conveying the reporting from these sources objectively here, but the economic result is undeniable. We are looking at mortgage rates hovering near 6.12%.
Right.
So, what does this specific lack of consensus at the Fed mean for commercial real estate lending and this reality of rates staying, higher for longer?
Well, it means we have definitively entered an era of what the sources call selective normalization.
Selective normalization.
Yeah. The previous era, where incredibly cheap debt essentially bailed out bad real estate decisions, that era is completely over.
The easy money is gone.
Exactly. Capital is now forced to become highly disciplined. We see the fallout of this clearly in the commercial mortgage-backed securities or CMBS debt markets.
Right.
Debt yields are rising, but negative leverage still widely persists across many properties.
Let's break that term down for a second because it is crucial for anyone navigating this. Negative leverage basically means it costs you more to borrow the money from the bank than the property actually generates an income, right?
You hit the nail on the head. If your property generates, say, a 5% return, what we call an implied cap rate, but your borrowing cost or your mortgage rate is over 6%, you are essentially bleeding cash from day one.
Wow.
You are losing money just by holding the asset. And because of this structural imbalance, delinquencies are naturally climbing.
I saw those numbers in the Trepp report. Overall, CMBS delinquency hit 7.55% in March.
But looked at the sector breakdown, that is where the real story is.
Yeah, office properties reached a record 11.71% delinquency, and multifamily hit a new high of 7.15%.
Which tells us capital is fleeing those distressed, overbuilt sectors. It is desperately seeking refuge in structurally sound investments that generate real, reliable cash flow.
And because capital is fleeing the chaos of office and multifamily distress, it has to rotate somewhere.
It does.
Which brings us to the most surprising winner of 2026, the national resurgence of brick-and-mortar retail.
It is quite the pivot.
I have to admit, looking at these numbers, it goes against everything we have been told for the last decade. I mean, e-commerce was supposed to kill the physical store.
That was certainly the prevailing narrative.
Yet the supply of physical retail is incredibly constrained right now. CoStar reports there is only 64.2 million square feet of retail construction underway nationally.
Which is a staggering statistic when you put it in context.
How so?
That is the lowest national construction pipeline since the 2011 trough, right after the global financial crisis.
Wow. So we just stopped building it.
Exactly. We essentially underbuilt retail space for over a decade because of that narrative you mentioned, that Amazon and online shopping were going to make physical stores completely obsolete.
Right.
But because there has been such a severe lack of new construction, the existing well-located retail spaces are now highly prized assets.
And we are seeing landlords wield immense pricing power because of that scarcity.
We really are.
The sources highlight Kimco Realty, which posted record first quarter leasing spreads of roughly 24% on new leases.
That is a massive indicator.
Just to clarify, that means when a space opened up, they were able to charge the next tenant 24% more than the previous one was paying.
Yes, their leverage is incredible right now.
But the real surprise in the data is who is actually driving this demand. Tanger beat their earnings estimates, and they specifically credited Generation Z for driving a return to physical stores.
It seems counterintuitive at first glance.
It really does. I mean, wait, why is Generation Z suddenly rescuing the outlet mall and the physical store?
Well, we have to look at the psychology and the mechanism behind changing consumer habits.
Okay.
Generation Z grew up entirely in a digital world. E-commerce is not novel or exciting to them. It is simply a utility for acquiring basic commodities.
It is just how you buy a toothbrush.
Exactly. What they lack and what they are actively seeking out are physical third spaces for social interaction away from their screens.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
We are witnessing a fundamental shift from goods-based retail to service and experience-based retail. Consumers today want destinations. They want convenience, and heavily, they want food.
Because you can't download a hot meal.
Right. E-commerce is highly efficient, but it cannot replicate the social experience of walking through a physical destination with friends or the immediate gratification of fresh, prepared food.
And that emphasis on food completely explains the move 7-Eleven just made in the sources.
It is a massive shift for them.
Yeah. They announced an initiative to remodel 7,000 stores and open 1,300 new standard locations that are heavily focused on food. They are targeting $1 billion in fresh food sales by 2030.
They're essentially pivoting to a restaurant model.
Right. And how does 7-Eleven pivoting to a restaurant model prove that physical retail isn't dead?
It proves that the function of the space has just evolved. The physical footprint is still incredibly valuable. It just serves a different consumer need now.
Got it.
At the same time, though, we are seeing a very different strategy play out in the luxury retail sector.
Oh, yeah. The sources mentioned that. Luxury is consolidating into a winner-take-all dynamic.
Exactly. Rather than broad national expansion, luxury brands are retreating. They are focusing heavily on just three United States markets: New York City, Los Angeles, and Miami.
And the numbers are wild. Those three cities account for 80% of all 2025 luxury openings.
Right. So the broader national retail market is winning not through pure luxury expansion, but by focusing relentlessly on essential services, food, and daily convenience.
So while luxury retreats to the coasts and the national supply pipeline remains heavily constrained, the real volume and structural growth are heading straight down south.
Straight to Texas.
Which brings us to the epicenter of the retail boom and Eureka Business Group specialty, the Dallas-Fort Worth market.
It is a powerhouse region right now.
Dallas-Fort Worth is cementing its status as the nation's top commercial real estate market. Earlier, we noted that national retail construction is essentially flat, but DFW currently has 7.2 million square feet of retail underway.
That volume is incredible. But what really matters is how the market handles that new supply.
Right.
Submarkets like Uptown Dallas, Knox Henderson, and Frisco are leading in absorption, despite the fact that construction costs remain quite elevated.
Let's clarify absorption for a moment for those listening. That basically means that even though developers are building millions of square feet of new retail, There is so much demand that businesses are actually leasing and occupying that space almost as fast as it can be built.
Preventing a glut of empty storefronts, yes.
Okay, perfect.
Net absorption measures the total square footage that became occupied minus the square footage that became vacant.
So a high number is very good.
Extremely good.
Yeah.
High absorption in DFW means tenant demand is actively outpacing or matching that 7.2 million square feet of new construction. It proves the development is justified by real economic activity, not just speculative overbuilding.
And we are seeing major, highly strategic moves driving this absorption. For example, HEB's Central Market is finally landing in Uptown Dallas to backfill a long vacant big box space.
That is a highly anticipated project.
Yeah, and at the same time, HEB is expanding with a massive 126,000 square foot store in the Hurst-Euless Bedford area. Looking at this trend, it feels a bit like a hermit crab finding a massive empty shell.
A hermit crab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that vacant Uptown Dallas box or an aging enclosed mall, the developer just finds it and completely moves in to revitalize it into a vibrant ecosystem.
Well, it is a helpful visual, but with a crucial distinction.
Oh.
Unlike a hermit crab that just occupies an existing shell as is, these developers are completely gutting the shell and fundamentally changing its ecosystem.
Ah, I see.
This is the adaptive reuse trend sweeping across North Texas. DFW retail development is heavily focused on placemaking.
The sources gave a great example of that, Plano Shops at Willow Bend.
Yes, the last enclosed mall built in Texas.
Right, and it is being radically transformed into something called The Bend. They are turning a closed-off, struggling mall into an open-air mixed-use district. It integrates residential, office, retail, dining, and hotel uses all together.
Frisco's Firefly Park is another massive placemaking endeavor mentioned in the sources.
Oh, yeah. They are pushing forward with a $125 million project phase, and they just landed a $50 million boutique hotel alongside brand new retail space.
These projects highlight why grocery-anchored and open-air mixed-use centers are the ultimate defensive plays against the economic headwinds we discussed earlier.
Because they capture that daily necessity-driven foot traffic you mentioned.
Exactly. When you integrate a boutique hotel, residential units, and a high-end grocer like Central Market into one space, you are no longer relying on someone deciding to get in their car and go shopping.
Right.
You are capturing the spending of people who are already living, working, and eating in that immediate footprint.
But you cannot have a booming retail market without the massive logistical backbone and the high-paying jobs required to support that level of consumer spending.
You really can't. The front end requires a massive back end.
And Dallas-Fort Worth retail is thriving because the regional infrastructure is absolutely in overdrive right now. The engine driving this retail boom is deeply rooted in logistics and data.
Yes.
For example, Target is opening a massive $265 million, 1.2 million square foot receive center in Houston to feed regional distribution. And Dick's Sporting Goods just debuted an 800,000 square foot distribution center right in Fort Worth.
That industrial footprint is the invisible half of the retail transaction.
How so?
The industrial and data center boom in Texas provides the critical supply chain efficiency that modern retail requires to function profitably.
Right, because you need the goods nearby.
Exactly. You cannot offer the convenience or the massive fresh food inventories that companies like 7-Eleven and HEB are pushing without a highly localized, state-of-the-art distribution network backing them up.
And then you have the technology sector pouring money in. The sources describe a tech and data center capital expenditure supercycle.
It is bringing massive capital to the region.
Let's unpack that term, CapEx supercycle. It basically means we are in a prolonged period where massive tech companies are spending billions upon billions of dollars on physical infrastructure, like servers and the buildings that house them.
Right. It is a historic wave of physical investment.
And the numbers back that up. We see CyrusEnd securing a $1.05 billion CMBS loan to refinance two data centers in Allen.
And DataBank secured a historic $2 billion construction loan for a 180-megawatt, 600,000-square-foot campus in Red Oak.
Those are staggering sums of capital being anchored into the North Texas dirt.
They really are.
Which raises an interesting question. I mean, are these massive industrial distribution centers and data centers essentially acting as the new anchor tenants of the modern economy?
That is a brilliant way to frame it.
Because traditionally, the anchor tenant was the massive department store that drew everyone to the mall. These data centers aren't in the mall, obviously, but they seem to be making the modern retail experience possible.
They absolutely function as the new macroeconomic anchor tenants. They are just distributed across the broader region rather than attached to a single shopping center.
Right.
And beyond just moving goods, these massive infrastructure projects generate and sustain high-paying jobs.
Oh, the salaries.
Yes. The tech salaries associated with these data center expansions, alongside major corporate commitments like AT&T's multi-billion dollar Plano headquarters preview, they pump capital directly into the local economy.
Add to that Fort Worth's $606 million convention center overhaul, targeting a 2030 completion, and you have a region flush with massive economic catalysts.
And that provides the disposable income that actually fills up the parking lots at places like The Bend in Plano and Central Market in Uptown.
So it all connects.
It does. The physical retail store is the final, highly visible point of sale. But its success is entirely dependent on this massive underlying network of logistics and technology infrastructure.
Okay, let's bring all these threads together. We started by looking at a Federal Reserve struggling with internal consensus and keeping money tight. That restrictive policy is relentlessly exposing the weak links in commercial real estate. It is pushing capital out of distressed office and multifamily assets, largely due to the painful math of negative leverage.
And in response, retail has emerged as a financial safe haven.
Yes. Due to severely constrained national supply and consumer habits led surprisingly by Generation Z shifting rapidly away from pure goods and toward physical experiences, food, and convenience.
Exactly.
Dallas-Fort Worth has positioned itself as the absolute epicenter of this retail renaissance. It is absorbing millions of square feet of new, highly curated, mixed-use space.
All entirely supported by a booming logistics and tech infrastructure.
Infrastructure that fuels both the supply chain and massive consumer spending power. This deep dive was brought to you by Eureka Business Group, your authority for navigating and capitalizing on the retail commercial real estate market in Dallas-Fort Worth.
As we watch the line between retail logistics and daily experience continue to blur, I want to leave you with a question to ponder.
Please do.
As these massive investments reshape our cities, when you visit a store in 2030, will you simply be entering a retail shop, or will you actually be walking into the highly curated experiential front end of a massive regional data and supply chain network?
Wow, that is something to think about. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. The next time you drive through Dallas-Fort Worth, we encourage you to look at those empty boxes and the bustling grocery centers in your own neighborhoods with a new, informed perspective. Have a great day.